From the sports betting capital of the world, Las Vegas, it's time for the show you can't afford to miss. The number one weekly football preview, Wanna Bet. Get ready for valuable information, analysis, winning picks, and betting strategies. Your hosts, SEC gridiron guru Kip Kiefer, and award-winning betting expert, writer, and sports editor for the Las Vegas Sun, Case Kiefer. Let's go. Here's everything you need to win big. Wanna Bet.
Welcome, everybody, to Wanna Bet, our football edition. We are looking at every aspect of wagering and winning on college NFL football. And we've got the ideal fella sitting next to me here to give you all the intricacies, ins and outs, on how to do that. Case Kiefer, sports editor of the Las Vegas Sun. And Case, we've been, for the last couple of weeks, focusing on betting lines here at the TI Golden Circle Race and Sportsbook on the Las Vegas Strip. Another line that comes out, along with the point spreads on the game, that a lot of people, you know, I think has kind of gained in popularity in recent years. When you hear people say what they bet on a game, it's not necessarily the teams. It's the total in the game, the over-under. Give us a little bit of just an overview of your opinion on over-unders, both in terms of how those lines are derived and some ways that you can exploit those.
Yeah, that's over-under. It's a pretty self-explanatory, like you said, just the total amount of points that are going to be scored in a game, in this case, in a football game. And, you know, honestly, if you're a new bettor looking to get into this and you want to make money, it is a really good area to attack. You still can find it everywhere on every game, but it's not going to be as nailed down. It's not going to be as sharp of a number as the point spread, given, you know, how much money you can get down on a point spread, given how many people attack that. I honestly do not do a lot with totals, especially in college football. It's a whole lot of other work, and, you know, I'm coming at this kind of as from a writer, from a journalist perspective first. I do bet very seriously as well, but, you know, I always did it first from a writer perspective. And, you know, as you know, from a content perspective, everyone wants to know the prediction of the game. They want to know the point spread. I think there's more interest in that. So, you know, for my audience writing-wise, I try to focus more on the point spread. That being said, you know, it probably would be worthwhile to do more on totals because there are opportunities there. You know, there are places where you can exploit and make money. I don't personally do as much on totals, but there's people that do them very well. And there's people that, you know, professionals that have a lot more action on totals than point spreads. And you can see why there's less competition there.
Well, as our series continues, I'm really anxious and I'm looking forward to learning a lot myself about analytics. And you said in a radio interview, and I'll probably use this again when we get to those weeks, but you said, well, actually it was a podcast, I think, by a betting service. But you made a statement that's always stuck with me, and so I'm kind of teasing some future shows. But you said, yeah, I am a numbers guy, and that's something that I'm really fascinated in. So as a numbers guy, when you're analyzing games, you have to kind of have a sense of, you know, your opinion if a lot of points are going to be scored or not. So it surprises me to hear you say that you don't put that much emphasis on that.
Well, I mean, I guess I should just say I don't bet a lot. I definitely want to have an idea of how many points are going to be scored. You know, if you just want to, you know, kind of boil this down to a very basic thing, if you think a game's going to have a lot of points, it always is going to benefit the favorite. You're going to be more likely to wind up on the favorite because, you know, that's more trials, that's more opportunities for a team that has better talent is able to extend their advantage. That's why I think some of the best underdogs are teams that play super slow, that kind of zig where others are zagging. Because what you want to do, if you are outmatched, you know, it's just basic game theory. If you're not as strong as the other team, if you don't have as good as athletes, you want to boil that game down and make it shorter. You want to increase the randomness. So typically, if a game's going to be under, it's going to be more correlated with liking the underdog because fewer points is going to be better for the team, the team that has less of an advantage. If you like the over, you're going to like more the favorite. I'm not saying I don't know how many points are going to be scored in the game. It's not something I look at totally. Just from a betting perspective, it's not my expertise. It's not where I've done my best, and it's not where I, you know, really have the time to devote much time. So I don't bet a whole lot of totals, but I think you do need to have an idea of what pace a game is going to play at and whether that's going to benefit, you know, one side or the other.
I always get amused when people are kind of previewing games that week, and it'll be two like really explosive teams playing, and I don't care what the number is, you know, bet over. But the global market, as you defined it a couple of shows ago, determines a number that's appropriate to that matchup. So it's not like it's, you know, a gimme that two teams that put up big numbers that you're going to get a line that's necessarily easy to navigate.
Yeah, for sure. And I think explosion, you know, some people may correlate that incorrectly with explosion and pace are two totally different things. You can have a super explosive offense that blows up, big plays, every game and is high up on the explosive ratings that still isn't really emphasizing playing really fast and playing 90 plays a game. So I think you have to kind of merge those two things and see where it happens. There's a lot of different philosophies. I think it's one of the things that makes college football great. I mean, a lot of times you're seeing teams play two totally different games. I'm struggling to think of like a Power 5 equivalent right now, but you think back to last year, Western Kentucky had a great year. They brought in Houston Baptist's offensive coordinator, who's now at Texas Tech, but they just ran the most insane pace with Bailey Zappe as their quarterback. They were killing everyone else in plays, just up-tempo. Then you go like to the total opposite end. There's Wyoming here in the Mountain West that they want to run the play clock down all the way to the end every time, run up the middle, keep the play clock running. You know, there are games where Western Kentucky would have double the amount of plays of Wyoming. It's almost like you're playing a different sport. So I think it's really important to understand the philosophies, and you know, you're just never going to be exact, but try to understand the strategies, get inside the coaches' heads and see, you know, what kind of things they're going to be implementing. And you know, if you can figure that out, that's really going to lead you to the right totals.
And really from a handicapping perspective, and again, I'm sure a lot of your numbers research, and again, we're going to get into that thoroughly as we move forward here. But as you're analyzing games, matching up team styles has to be a big factor in how you make a determination.
Yeah, for sure. It is really big. You always want to look at those matchups. Like I said, I want to know if it's a big underdog that's, you know, going on to take one of these great teams, you know, like Georgia, if it's a 21-point underdog. I want to know if it's a coach that's going to be stubborn and stuck in his ways, that's, you know, going to be throwing downfield every play, that's going to be trying to stick to his pace. Or I want to know if it's a guy that changes a little bit week to week and tries to, you know, that I think can maybe see some matchups he can exploit. It's an inexact science, but, you know, I think those matchups do still have value. It's just hard to really nail down, but there are some situations where I think you can look at that and try to make some assessments and try to have that lead you to some bets.
Well, I know some bettors that are fairly serious in Birmingham that they really like to look for over bet opportunities, because the over bet's kind of fascinating that theoretically, I mean, you can have that one in the early part of the second half if things go your way. And both of them, and they don't even know one another, but both of them recently have said to me, I really don't like betting under, because it's you can lose that bet before the game even plays out.
Yeah, I would kind of be the opposite, and I think
that's
that a lot of sharper bettors would be this way, but this is exactly why. I mean, all this is built into sport. The overs, you're paying a premium in case there's overtime. All this is earned in. You have to – something has to happen for you to hit an over. And under, if less things happen and under hits, I think typically there's going to be more values in the unders. Not necessarily not a steadfast rule, but I think most serious bettors you talk to are going to be more on the unders or on props. Also correlated, they're going to be on more than the no than the yeses. You know, it's just – it sounds very basic, but it's hard for things to happen. It's easier for things not to happen. I think unders are slightly more profitable usually.
Such interesting aspects to all of this. Case Kiefer is going to give you his interesting selections for the week right after this timeout.
Hey, it's Case Kiefer back for another week of my best bets on Wanna Bet, and there should be nowhere to go but up after last week, my worst week in the brief history of the show. 0-4 on college football, 2-2 on the NFL, two painful marks for two different reasons. On the college football front, I actually had a very good week in my column on LasVegasSun.com, which I'll plug again. You can read on Tuesdays at 2 a.m., winning week with the plays, but clearly I picked the wrong ones to include in this segment because they all fell apart, a couple close calls, but hey, that happens. I've had other weeks already where I've been great on the show and lost in real life and in the column. So just a plug to be checking out all I do that might help you more. And then the NFL just took a terrible number. Probably I recorded this segment during the only stretch of the week where the Saints were only getting 2.5 in London. I don't say this to complain or to say poor me, but it just goes to show you how important market entry is and making sure you get the best number. I could have easily just stayed away from that game when it was only 2.5. It was 3 or more the whole rest of the week. Of course, Lance right on 3, and most people, if you bet the Saints, won. But not me. Took a bad number, so I'll learn from that. Try to be cognizant of it this week, where I've got 3 picks, again, in both college and the NFL, and a pair of futures in each. I love talking about the futures, and there's a few I bet this week, so I picked a couple of those to go as well. Let's start in college football, as always. And I'm going to try something new this week. I really like a lot of Big Ten games. Let's just stick exclusively in the Big Ten. I picked 3 of those to share on the show. Let's start with Wisconsin, 9.5-point favorite at Northwestern. I am laying it with the Badgers here. Seemed like a weird situation to be doing that after they fired Coach Paul Christ. I know that was kind of a controversial firing. He'd been pretty steady there, not a train wreck by any means, but I like the firing, and I think a big reason why it happened is because their defensive coordinator, Jim Leonard, was going to be a hot name in coaching circles this offseason. There was a good chance they were going to lose him if they didn't make a move. They want to see what they have out of him. By all accounts, he's a well-liked guy, a sharp guy. I think maybe some of the in-game stuff gets better under him. So I think there's going to be a boost from the Badgers this week. It doesn't always work out this way. We've already seen an interim coach go the other way against us this year. I think I terribly picked Nebraska earlier in the year going into the game after they fired Scott Frost and they got killed, but I don't expect that to happen here. I think Wisconsin should be able to handle Northwestern by double digits. Then the other team in the game that got Christ fired was Illinois last week, who upset Wisconsin. This week they are hosting Iowa, and they are 3.5-point favorites currently, which I think is hard to believe. You go back to the beginning of the year, they're probably a double-digit underdog in this game. So I'm going to take Iowa plus 3.5. Too big of a reaction to me. The Hawkeyes' offense is absolutely dreadful. Don't watch this game for any reason. But Illinois' offense isn't much better. It's the usual Brent Bielema slow plodding affair. Pick up a few yards at a time. They've done well this year, not taking anything away from them. But I just think these two teams are pretty even. It's going to be a low-scoring game, and anything more than a field goal seems like a lot here. So I'm going to take Iowa plus 3.5. The final game, I'm going to lay 3 with Maryland hosting Purdue. Purdue, another team that's coming off of a big win last week. They ruined Minnesota's hot start to the season where they were 4-0. Minnesota had really played no one, and Purdue was able to slow them down a lot. The Boilermakers have an underrated defense this year. Well-coached team. I like them, but they did have a little bit more trouble when they ran into the most explosive team they played so far this year with Penn State. That was a high-scoring game in week one. I think Maryland has its issues, but on offense, I think they're even more explosive than Penn State with the younger Tagovailoa brother at the controls and some great wide receivers that he's had around for a while with him and Rakim Jarrett and Jashawn Jones. I think Maryland will be able to put up points here, so I'll go Maryland minus 3. Then for the future, this is one I've already written about this week, but it's one I really like. I'm going to go over to the other big, the Big 12. I like Texas plus 450 to win the conference. I was shocked this was still available. I know the Longhorns have lost a game, but the Big 12 is only 10 teams. The teams with the top 2 records get into the conference title game, and Texas has looked like by far the best team all around this year. I know there's some flavors of the week, so to speak, with teams like TCU, Kansas State, and even Kansas, but I think all those teams are strong at certain places and then weak in others. I think Texas, it looks like the roster top to bottom is pretty strong. They lost a fluky game to Texas Tech, but now they're getting Quinn Ewers back this week. They just absolutely obliterated West Virginia last week. I'm surprised it's available plus 450. I think they're the best team in the conference, and I would take this all the way down to probably 3-1. So Texas at plus 450 or better is great. Let's transition to the NFL. I like a lot of favorites this week. I think the last 2 weeks I've been on a lot of underdogs in the NFL, but found value elsewhere. This week, I'm going to start with the Vikings laying 7 against the Bears. The Vikings are 3-1, but have not looked very impressive the last 3 weeks. Got manhandled by the Eagles, and then really probably shouldn't have won both the games against the Lions and the Saints. They probably deserve to go 1-1 in that stretch, but I still believe in this team long-term. I think they're going through a lot of the same growing pains as a lot of teams you see around the league under a first-year coach. I think they're really steady all across the roster, and I think once things start to sink in, they're going to be dangerous. This would traditionally not be a time where you look for that to happen, coming a week off the London game and not taking the bye week. But if you look into the way the Vikings traveled to London, they did everything in their power to stay on the central time zone. They were actually looking ahead more to this game, this divisional game against the Bears, as far as keeping their body clocks right and stuff. I think if there was going to be a sketchy performance in there, it was going to be the Saints, and we kind of saw that. The Saints arguably deserved to win that game, but they flew right back to Minnesota. They didn't even get to London, I believe, until Thursday night, Friday morning. So they went to drastic lengths. So there's a lot of money, a lot of sports science that goes into this. They wanted to be at the top of their level for this game. And I think laying 7 against a really offensively challenged team like the Bears is just a little short. I think this should be more than a touchdown. So give me the Vikings -7. Another favorite, I'm going to lay 4.5 with the Rams hosting the Cowboys. I've been waiting for the right spot to fade all the Cooper Rush hype. Look, I've been impressed with the kid too filling in for Dak Prescott. He's been very good, undefeated as the Cowboys starter. But you look at who they've played the last 3 weeks, and it's not exactly a murderer's row. They've had a really easy schedule. The Rams have looked so bad. I think now you have a good buy low here with them. I think this is a spot where the Rams get together. So I'm going to go with Rams -4.5. The last one, just because I like the primetime games, this actually is going to come with a caveat. I would not bet it right now, but the game I will be at that I'll be looking very much forward to, Monday Night Football, the Raiders going to the Chiefs. Right now, the Raiders are a 7-point underdog. But I think that's going to get to 7.5 at some point. The question is if it stays there. But if it does get to 7.5, I'm going to lock in a conditional bet on the Raiders at +7.5 right now. This is the last game before their bye week. They're getting healthier. I think they are going to throw everything they can at the Chiefs. The Chiefs are clearly a better team and usually blow out the Raiders. But I really think this is the type of game where Las Vegas throws everything they have. You know, still have a pretty talented roster. I think they're going to hang with the Chiefs. I wouldn't ultimately say they went outright, but I would be surprised if this one's a blowout. So if it gets to 7.5, give me the Raiders +7.5. And the last future I wanted to talk about quickly in the NFL, how about Sauce Gardner at 25-1 to win the Defensive Rookie of the Year? I can't believe his number has swelled this high. I get it. Cornerback's not really a glamour position if you aren't getting interceptions, but this guy's been amazing in coverage. And maybe that's going to come more into focus this week when the Jets are taking on the Dolphins. And their receiving duo of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I think this number will be gone by then. I get it that, you know, we're looking for sacks mainly when we're looking for a rookie of the year, but the truth is Sauce Gardner's probably been the best defensive rookie, so 25-1 is a good price. That'll do it for me. Stick around for Kip's Picks in the SEC next.
Listen to what callers are saying about the morning after.
But I just wanted to say thank you. You guys bring a lot of information. To me, your show is a lot different than most. I can't really pinpoint it. It's just maybe it's the friendliness. Maybe it's just the way that you guys come across more like family to me. And I just love listening every Sunday when I get the opportunity.
The morning after, Sundays 9 to 11 a.m. on WJOX 94.5 Birmingham.
Hey, everybody. Kip Kiefer ready on Wanna Bet to give you the SEC forecast for this week. And we've got Big Mo on our side. Momentum, who's the most valuable player in sports handicapping. Last week, we were 3-1, which got us back to the 500 level for the year. Glad to say that after a tough start. And starting to kind of get the feeling that we've seen enough of the teams. We talked about it last week. Gives us a little bit better edge in terms of being able to judge the matchups and give you more winners. And that's why we're here. The name of the game, if you will. So let's start this week over in Athens, Georgia. The Bulldogs have fallen from the perch of number 1 to number 2, coming off a staggering win last week in Columbia. And staggering, not in the good sense. They had to come and fight tooth and nail just to pull a game out against the 28-point underdog Tigers. Now, the other Tigers they're playing today, Auburn, this is the first time they've been on the road. 5 straight home games for Auburn to start the season in kind of a cauldron of controversy and a lot of speculation about their coach. It had to have been an advantage to play 5 straight home games, but also kind of pressure fill with everything swirling around there. So this is the kind of spot where a team that gets to get away from all of that and go on the road can just focus on their business. A lot of times that correlates into a good performance. With all that being said, Auburn, let's call them Team A. Let's apply a little algebra here. My high school teacher, Coach Roy Adams, would be quite proud because I was the worst student he probably ever had in terms of understanding algebra and geometry. But in this situation, you had Team A Auburn who beat Team B Missouri, albeit that Missouri kind of threw that game away. The best team didn't necessarily win. It was a 3-point game. Then Team B Missouri goes back home, plays now, let's call them Team C Georgia. Georgia, a huge favorite, pulls out a win at the end by only 4. So all these teams seemingly have been fairly evenly matched on the field, But as we know, Georgia is held in a lot loftier regard than the other two. And the line on this game is Georgia 29.5-point favorites. Just basic Coach Roy Adams algebra tells me that that's too many points despite all the Georgia hype. The Auburn and Missouri games have been very close. I think Georgia wins, but I think Auburn getting out on the road is a good thing for them. I'm going to take Auburn plus 29.5 to at least keep it respectable here in this game. Alabama is the other monster favorite this week. They demolished Arkansas, our only loser last week. And Arkansas had the ball inside the 10 in the last minute. They could have scored and covered for us, but didn't get that done. Alabama comes home now. This was supposed to be the game of the year in the SEC. All of the offseason controversy between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. And now Texas A&M kind of limps into Tuscaloosa, not looking very formidable, particularly off a thorough beating last week in Starkville after eking out a game against Arkansas that they frankly really didn't deserve to win. 24 points is the spread. Max Johnson, the quarterback, probably not going to play for Texas A&M. Of course, Bryce Young, the Heisman Trophy quarterback for Alabama, hurt in the Arkansas game last week. So he is questionable, but Alabama still has a lot of horses and a lot of momentum, and Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher's confrontation in the offseason was just nasty enough. I think the Alabama Crimson Tide lays the wood to Texas A&M this week. I like Alabama, and I'm going to give the 24, despite the fact that's a lot of points. Let's look next over to Starkville, Mississippi State. That big win over Texas A&M, that same formula of teams playing teams is applying here once again as Arkansas and Texas A&M just played. Then A&M was in Mississippi State last week. Now, of course, Arkansas finishes that circle and they come into Starkville. They kind of exposed what we feared about this team. If you remember previous shows, I talked about Arkansas kind of reaching the pinnacle of success, and really there's no place to go except for back down a little bit, and I think we're starting to witness that now. My big concern with this team this year was their defense, and wow, Alabama really exposed those shortcomings last week in their big victory. That all being said, Mississippi State played great football last week and beat Texas A&M handily. And now they've been assigned an 8.5-point favorite role over Arkansas, who is still a really respectable, scrappy team, and Sam Pittman does a fantastic job. You know, I just don't see Mississippi State whipping up on Arkansas and Texas A&M in consecutive weeks. I think this will be a close game, and I'm going to take the Hogs 8.5 points because I really believe that they're going to bounce back with a really big effort to try and make up for the game that they were very disappointed in themselves last week against Alabama. Two other quick stops. We're going to have five picks today. There are two fairly large favorites that maybe aren't large enough. Kentucky played a good game at Ole Miss, pretty much what we expected. We had Kentucky plus the points last week, although we said we thought Ole Miss might win that game. Kentucky goes home now and plays South Carolina, who is clearly one of the bottom feeders in the league. I really don't see much to like about this South Carolina team, but the line is only 10 points here, which I find a little bit strange since Kentucky was getting so much hype and really acquitted themselves well at Ole Miss, made a few mistakes. The much-celebrated quarterback Will Levis fumbled a couple of times. I think Kentucky beats South Carolina by more than 10 in Lexington on Saturday. And the other stop down in Florida in Gainesville in the Swamp, the Gators played Sunday. Nobody knew that after the hurricane. The game got moved to Sunday against Eastern Washington. Florida just destroyed them. and really are kind of hitting their stride. They are only a 10-point favorite against Missouri, who just left it all on the field last week in their try to upset Georgia. I don't think the Tigers will have much left here. I think 10's too little amount of points. I think Florida wins that game by more than that. So that's the picks for this week. Hopefully we can keep the momentum rolling. We appreciate all of you watching Wanna Bet, and we hope that every one of you has a fantastic winning weekend.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week on Wanna Bet. I want to thank Case Kiefer for all of his expertise, and Clay Kiefer, producer and director of the show. We will be back next week with more information that you can use to be a winner. In the meantime, I hope all of your plays this weekend are successful ones.